philosophy of the sea last night. Oh, howdy. I think there's more ladies than men, aren't there? We have to give the ladies the better half of the room. So the men can remember to, during kirtan, to stay maybe beyond the door, the edge of the door there. It can be on this side, too. In case you don't know, men are generally pretty inconsiderate. Although they're the last ones to know it. Who, us? Read about the qualities of Sri Krishna. It's very important to understand that the Supreme Lord has qualities, because then you can understand how you can be attracted to spiritual life. If you simply base your spiritual endeavors upon negating the misery of material life and denial of material pleasure, you haven't actually understood what it means to be spirit soul. If you simply situate yourself in the material energy, or if you manage to deny all material desires, still you have no devotional service to Krishna, therefore you have no firm position in the spiritual energy of the Lord. Bhaktas, devotees of Lord Krishna, do not take anything seriously except the Lord's devotional service. And a devotee looks upon a situation devoid of service to the Lord as hellish, even if it can be so-called liberation. Liberation, in terms of relief from material suffering, is not the goal of life. The goal of life is positive engagement in the Lord's transcendental loving service. It's true that everyone wants to stop suffering. It's very simple how to stop suffering, but it's very mysterious. If you simply engage yourself in bhakti, loving devotional service to the Lord, then your whole situation becomes transformed. That's why in the Bhagavatam it is stated, Narayana Prasave Nakutaschana Bibhyati Sarva Kavarga Nadakeshapitriyata Darshan. A devotee of the Lord, Narayana Para, that means one who has realized that the Lord is his her exclusive shelter, doesn't mind where the location is, where the situation is. Heavenly situation, hellish situation. Apitriyarta darshana, the real transcendentalist, the devotee, sees all situations, heaven or hell and in between, as equal. Because he sees everything as Krishna's energy, And as long as he or she has devotional service, the situation, the circumstances become transformed. So please try to understand the exclusivity of devotional service. Bhakti is far beyond mere liberation from material suffering. Bhakti yoga begins from the point of liberation from the material world. That's just the beginning. We need to be able to see these things in perspective, because first of all, everyone wants to be free from suffering. But the real freedom from suffering won't come until you have positive engagement in something else that's better. I've given the example so many times that if you've been banging your head against the wall all your life and making a big mess out of it, naturally, if you can only stop, you're going to feel relief. But that hasn't solved your problems completely. Why did you bang your head against the wall year after year in the first place? Why did you do that? Obviously, you didn't know what to do with your head. So if you stop banging your head against the wall, okay, very good, but that's not the end of the road. Now what do you do with your head? Unless you find the true purpose of having a head, you're going to get in trouble again. Therefore, we say that liberation has no value. It is devotional service that has the value. Devotional service means acting in your constitutional position as eternal servant of Krishna. What is attractive simply about becoming free from material suffering if it means you're like a stone with no positive activity, no positive engagement? It happens that people become so persecuted by material varieties that they imagine or they speculate a so-called spirituality that's completely free of all the varieties and qualities that we know about in our everyday world. They speculate. That means you're going to seek to organize your life so that you can cherish the sound of Hare Krishna. Then you know that your spiritual life has actually begun. When, in response to the sound vibration of Hare Krishna, you want to shape your life so that glorifying Krishna is your all in all. How do you judge that you're making spiritual advancement? The more that you feel you can't let time pass without glorifying Krishna, the more you know you're making spiritual advancement. That's a good way to judge. How can I pass my days and nights without glorifying Krishna? Not simply, how can I extinguish my desires? How can I have no desires? It's impossible to have no desires. In the proper sense, having no desire means having no desire except to satisfy Krishna, meaning you have no material desire. But a devotee is full of desire. A devotee is keen, eager, even greedy how to please Krishna. This Hare Krishna mantra makes it possible for everyone to understand what is God, what is Krishna. Krishna is adokshaja, beyond the range of our senses. He's aprameya, immeasurable. But as the sound vibration of Hare Krishna, everyone can be in touch with Krishna and chant and dance with ecstasy. You can see by this together chanting, this Sankirtan, now you see why associating with devotees is important. Yes, if you chant on your own, there is some taste. But when you chant in the association of devotees, the taste is magnified. So when there's nice kirtan and everyone's enthusiastically chanting and dancing, then you realize why you need your fellow devotees. Otherwise, you may take them for granted for, you know, wow, what am I doing with these people? Oh, they're not like me. I'm not like them. Why can't I just be on my own? Peace and quiet. Things go my way. But when there's kirtans like this, then you realize, hey, I need devotees in order to have this Sankirtan, congregational chanting of Hare Krishna. In the kirtan, we overlook all the faults that we are habituated to seeing. And in the kirtan, automatically, you think of Krishna's senses, how to please Krishna. So, it's very wonderful having these evening kirtans. And please remember that we have no shelter except for the holy name of Krishna. Don't be afraid to base your whole future on chanting the holy name. Sometimes devotees, they say, oh, what will happen to me in the future? What about my future? Your future is that you're chanting Hare Krishna now. You'll chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. Next year you'll chant Hare Krishna. Next decade you'll chant Hare Krishna. There's your future. Now, what do you say about that? Oh, it's going to be more than that. It's not so simple. Are you sure? Are you sure it's not so simple? Come on, come on. There's things you have to be aware of in this world, things you have to do. Yeah, there may be things you have to do to maintain your body, but is it really that important? Does it freak you out to think that your whole future may mainly be chanting Hare Krishna? Does that freak you out? Or did you hope that the chanting of Hare Krishna was going to lead you to something else? A big house in the country. Whatever. A wife who looks like a fashion model. Clad in a sari, of course. A husband who is loaded with money and knows how to spend it on you. Is that the goal of our chanting? No, the actual goal of our chanting is simply more chanting. We chant Hare Krishna in order to chant more Hare Krishna. So in the kirtans, you can feel that. We're just chanting for the sake of chanting, and we want more chanting. That's it. So it's true. How can materialists ever understand this? All you guys want to do is just chant that mantra? There's got to be more to life than that. So many people use the buzzword these days, spirituality. Yeah, I need spirituality. Spirituality is as close as the Hare Krishna mantra is to you. People can't believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can come to you as sound. He can let you hear him. And that's just as good as his letting you see him. So think about it. Mainly your whole future is going to be chanting Hare Krishna. Does that really scare you? Is that all it's going to be? Just chanting Hare Krishna? I should have some other plans. I need other things. Certainly you'll do a few other things, but they're not that important when compared to the chanting of the holy name. If you can actually see your life in terms of increased affinity for the holy name, if you can actually see your life in terms of increased concentration on the holy name, then you're seeing properly. Yes, you have to do things like bodily maintenance and whatever, but it's not so important. The main thing is your focus on the holy name. So kindly please think about how your whole life is going to be measured in terms of your increasing attraction for the Hare Krishna mantra. Get used to it. Learn to relish the thought. Learn to savor the thought. Just like good water tastes so good because Krishna is the taste. Rasam of Sukantaya. When you drink water, you think Krishna is the taste. And in that way, you're associating with Krishna. As you become more and more purified, you'll be amazed at how many ways and impetuses there are for thinking about Krishna. You begin to see everything having its use for Krishna's pleasure. It's like I'm urging Chandidas to make a special computer program called Shlokaraj for memorizing shlokas. Yeah, it'll have the word for words and the translation and the transliteration. So help devotees learn shlokas by using a computer. So everything has its good use. We want to use everything in this world for Krishna's pleasure. All our talents, all our abilities. It's like I was talking with some photographers today that John Ravi brought, and I was hearing from them how you can take pictures that reveal the vacuum of material life. People can look at these pictures and meditate on, oh, this is nothing in this life. Devotees are always thinking of ways how to teach the message of Bhagavad Gita. So this is what happens as you become more and more attuned to the Hare Krishna mantra. You see more and more opportunities for serving Krishna. We are glorifiers of Krishna. That is the main thing. All the rules and regulations in Krishna consciousness are meant for that purpose, to glorify Krishna. Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha nischaya daya tatta karma pravarta. First thing is enthusiasm. Without enthusiasm, you don't get your foot into the door of bhakti. First, there has to be enthusiasm. Therefore, the first thing we do in trying to establish Krishna consciousness somewhere is to get the enthusiasm going. Utsaha nischa daya. Enthusiasm, patience, and determination. Those three things have to be there. Then, tat tat karma pravartana. Doing all the proper activities. But first, utsaha, enthusiasm. Eagerness to glorify Krishna. That is enthusiasm. Patience and determination. Not that as soon as there's some inconvenience, you slack off in your service. Once the enthusiasm, the patience and determination is going, then everything snaps into place. Without the enthusiasm, patience and determination, things become dead. So please see your whole life as an unfolding adventure in terms of glorifying Krishna. Get used to the fact you're always going to glorify Krishna if you remain in your right state of mind. Don't imagine a time, don't ever imagine a time when you're not chanting Hare Krishna. Just think how every morning you're going to get up and chant Hare Krishna. The only way you wouldn't do it is if you're just totally incapacitated, totally sick. But otherwise, every morning you're going to chant Hare Krishna. And during the day, you're going to seek for ways to glorify Krishna. Even if you end up working a job to support a family, still, while on the job, you're thinking, how can Krishna be glorified? How can my income be used to glorify Krishna? How can the connections at this job be used to help the glorification of Krishna? That is how a devotee thinks. If you end up having children, you're thinking, how can the children glorify Krishna? It's your job as a parent to teach them from the very beginning of life how to glorify the Lord. Or, if you're single, then you can make the whole world your family and try to teach the whole world how to glorify Krishna. So that is our life. And Krishna remarks in Bhagavad Gita, Trishyanti cha romanti cha. His devotees, they derive great satisfaction and bliss by engaging in talks about him and exchanging realizations. So once again, remember, sometimes devotees ask, what about my future? What will my future be like? Why should you not see your future as ever-increasing glorification of Krishna? That's the main thing. The other things are minor. Anybody can get a job. Anyone can live in a house and pay for it. But it's a rare person who can glorify Krishna. So please remember that. And becoming Krishna conscious is easy in Kali Yuga. Lord Chaitanya has made it that way. That's why the Bhagavatam says that great saints and sages worship Kali Yuga. Kalim Sava Jayantyaya. Why is it that the Aryans, those who are spiritually developed and advancing, why do they worship Kali Yuga? Because in this age of Kali, it's so easy to become Krishna conscious just by chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna has made all concessions possible in this degraded age. Yet it's amazing how we think Krishna consciousness is difficult. It's like one guest was telling me today, you have to give up so many things. I'm like, what? What do you have to give up? He said, well, you have to give up material attachments. No, don't worry about that now. Just chant Hare Krishna. It's true at the time of death you'll have to give it up, but don't worry about that now. Just chant the holy name, see what happens. So I encouraged one of them, both of them, especially one of them, I encouraged her. You finish Bhagavad Gita. Read the whole Bhagavad Gita. Don't freak out if you read something that, you know, gets under your skin. Just keep reading. And yes, don't just read the bold type. Don't just read the translations. Read the purports too. And then hold your judgments till the end. You especially have to say that to ladies, because as they read Bhagavad Gita, they're going to hit a few sentences which they don't see it in the right way. They just really trip out. So therefore, you've got to get them in advance to agree. Just keep, whatever happens, just keep reading. It'll work out by the time you get to the end. It happened to you? Yeah. Yes. What did you think when you first, there you were, merrily reading along, all of a sudden, Maha Abarad. What did you think? Yes, that's the point. Read the context. So you have to get them to agree in the beginning. Whatever it is, just keep on reading to the end. Hold your judgment to the end. Hold your fire to the last page. And then, if they do that, you'll find some or other, midway in the book or before, the mystic power of the Bhagavad Gita takes over them. And it's like their brain becomes rewired. You've noticed that? It's like if they just would stick it out somewhere, you know? I mean, you know, it's a bit rocky for them in the introduction, chapter one, chapter two, it's a bit rocky. But if you just, through association, hold their hand and walk them through it until they get their own speed going, somewhere in the middle of the book, they all say, well, something just took over me. I was like, wow. I mean, I'm just like really into it. Did that happen to you, James?
Yeah.
The first was a bit rocky?
Yeah, very.
Why do you keep thinking, I'm going to put this down?
You know, I'd put it down for you sometimes.
Why did you pick it up again?
I just needed to know how it progressed. I'm going to judge it just by this more hard.
So then you just somehow or other you kept pushing through it, and all of a sudden what happened? Like indescribably.
I kind of understood, but it wasn't so much. It was more kind of emotionally rather than intellectually.
Yes, yeah, started to work on your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it just seemed to click, right? You started to flow with it. Go with the flow of the Gita. So by the time you got near the end, what were you thinking as you approached the end?
There you go.
Yeah. I'll never forget my feeling when I got near the end of the first time I read Bhagavad Gita. Do you all remember what you felt like when you first? What did you feel? Yes. Like you've just seen the best movie and now it's going to end. Who else remembers? Sarah, you remember?
Yeah.
You finished in New Zealand or here?
Yeah.
So what were you feeling?
I couldn't read it very well the first time I read it.
Yeah, still? Yeah. What were you feeling as you got to the end?
I should read everything because I read it really fast. Everybody said that. Yeah, I should read it. By the time you get to the end, you understand it.
So what were your feelings as you got near the last pages? Like, oh, I'm going to read it again. This is so great. I probably missed a lot of things.
Yeah.
Who else remembers what you felt like? No one else remembers? Men don't remember these things? Men don't remember their feelings, right? No one remembers? Nothing?
Yeah, I just had to, Maharaj, I just had to go back over it again, you know, like, similar experience. I have to learn a little bit more about what it's about.
No one else remembers? You don't remember?
No, I haven't read all the
You haven't finished it, huh? I remember what I felt. Wow, this is just amazing. I've never read anything like this before. And now it's going to end. Oh, no. I just read the most fantastic thing, and now it's going to end. And then I heard there's such a thing as Srimad Bhagavatam. I said, this is going to save my life. Now that they've finished the Gita. So now you're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, I think. He's in the third canto. So now how do you feel?
When I finish the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, you're gonna feel like that about everything to do with Krishna. I'm just not going deep enough. There's always so much more to be had. Just like we were explaining what Rupa Goswami explains, chanting Hare Krishna is like on the liberated platform. I don't know how much nectar is contained in the two syllables Krishna. When my tongue vibrates those syllables, I want many, many tongues. When my ear hears those syllables, I want many, many ears. Then I let the sound go into the courtyard of my heart. That's what we want the Hare Krishna mantra to do, to go into our heart. So once again, please think about your life as a glorifier of Krishna. There's your future. Everyone wants to think, my future, my future. That's the best way to do it. We're trying to train you all to be glorifiers of Krishna with enthusiasm, patience, and determination. That's the main thing. And in order to glorify Krishna with determination, enthusiasm, patience, you have to be honest about yourself in that you have to deal with yourself. That's the other thing that we stress. We don't want devotees using Krishna consciousness as an excuse to hide their personal issues and complications behind. This was done often in the early days of Krishna consciousness. Someone would know all the P's and Q's of Krishna consciousness in terms of minutia, but in terms of dealing with their self in an honest, practical way, they didn't have a clue. So, we older devotees have learned a thing or two over the years, and so we try to create a situation of balance where devotees will not hide behind the externals of Krishna consciousness, using those externals to shield themselves from any efforts to get them to deal with themselves. Every devotee has to be responsible to deal with yourself, get yourself in shape for glorifying Krishna. You've got to be on top of yourself. You've got to know where you are at. Because you are eternally the glorifier of Lord Krishna. In order to
act according to that natural propensity. You have to be on top of yourself. You can't neglect yourself, neglect dealing with yourself, because, oh, I'm a Hare Krishna. What do I have to deal with myself for? You know? We used to do like that in the old days, but not now. We can see that in order for people to glorify Krishna all their life, they have to deal solidly with themselves, their issues, their complexities. Deal with that so that you can happily glorify Krishna. And what's the best way to deal with your issues and complexities and what have you? In the association of sincere devotees. It's another reason why we need the association of devotees. What else does Rupa Goswami explain in Nectar? Instruction, Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Sutopyavitya. The holy name of Krishna, Sri Krishna Nama, is like sugar candy. Pitopatasya Rasanasya Narojikanu. But because our tongue is covered by the ignorance, jaundice, hepatitis, the unlimitedly sweet holy name tastes bitter to us. I know sometimes when you chant, do you feel that bitterness in your mouth? Yes, that's the conditioning, protesting. Why are you chanting Krishna's name? Stop it, stop it. Stop your mouth, stop your tongue. Sometimes it seems you have to work so hard to chant. But Rupa Goswami promises you that if you just carefully every day chant the holy names, gradually the natural taste, the natural relish will reawaken. So don't be intimidated by those days in which you really have to work hard to chant. You've really got to struggle. Krishna appreciates the struggle. And by that effort, you're conquering over the taste of ignorance. A little air in here, please. Just open the door. The best thing is that devotees have a commitment for glorifying Krishna. That's the best thing. Then the future is pretty clear. One way or another, I'm going to be glorifying the Supreme Lord. One way or another. Then become peaceful. Any questions? If you read Chaitanya Leela, you'll always find Lord Chaitanya's associates always chanting, dancing, encouraging one another, enlivening one another. That's what the association of devotees is meant to be like. Of course, we're not utopian. Srila Prabhupada would always say that. We're not utopian. We don't pretend that there's always going to be complete harmony and complete getting along with each other. That is utopian. It means you're not seeing the realities of this world. Krishna consciousness is like a hospital, and there are patients in it. That there are patients in the hospital means the hospital is doing its job. The hospital is for patients. But that also means that patients are there. Because patients are there, it also means that germs are there. Germs and hospitals go together. Because hospitals are for patients. But the doctors always keep the germ level down. So don't be utopian thinking. Amongst devotees, everyone's going to agree and everyone's going to be understood. Maybe sometimes, but also true, not a lot of times. But at least if Krishna can be served, that is the main thing. Anything? Yeah. Not really. Grihastha life has its different style. The family unit is there for a particular purpose. It does limit your focus, and you have to work with that limited focus. The purpose of that limited focus is purification. And the responsibility for your products. That's how one becomes purified from sex desire, by taking responsibility for the outcome of sex desire. And I'm sure that if you've observed, you've seen raising children's hard work. All around is degradation, and here you are trying to raise Krishna conscious children. It also means you're going to have to be very tolerant and patient during their teenage years. Tolerate some disappointments and so on and so forth. Generally, it's like that. But it's also true that at some point in their life, they'll straighten up and be very grateful for Krishna conscious upbringing. So yes, the Grihastha Ashram has a particular style, and you have to adhere to that style. You have to focus a lot on the family unit, make it go. It's a lot of work, two people being together, you know. And then you add in some children, it's a lot of work. Constant negotiations and constant adjusting. Oh, I didn't know you meant that. Oh, but I didn't know you meant that. But really, I'm sorry. No, no, no. You don't have to be sorry. I'm sorry. Because really, what was supposed to happen was that, oh, I didn't know that. I thought that you, well, you really, you didn't know that. On and on and on. Takes a lot of time, you know. And then, after that, there's a few children, and your whole day is gone. So it's hard work, and you have to be responsible about it. Whereas other ashrams, it's much easier to make the whole world your family, so to speak. Hmm. In grihastha life, you have to be responsible for your biological offspring. But in other ashrams, you don't have biological offspring, or they're old enough, you don't have to worry about them. And therefore, you can put your concentration into other things. And by that concentration and taking up a responsibility, you learn your lesson. Those householders who seek to follow the regular principles, they actually learn their lesson. Otherwise, when the regular principles aren't there, you never gain anything from the ceaseless fires of lust. It just burns and burns and burns. But through the, if you follow Dharma, then the fire becomes extinguished. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Varudo Bhute Shukamo Sri Bharatarshpa, I am sex life according to religious principles. So, these are different styles. Mothers in Krishna consciousness are responsible for bringing in the next generation. It's a very hallowed task, and it takes a lot of work. A lot of responsibility for a living entity that's dependent on you. Anything else? Mm-hmm.
How can we overcome our personalism and selfishness so that we won't think twice about stretching ourselves for Krishna's glorification?
Be practical. It's like you're young and full of energy, right? I mean, it's not going to kill you to for a few years to put your foot down on the accelerator pedal. What are you saving yourself for? You know, it's also part of life when you're young to kind of, you know, have some adventure and go for it. That has to be there. So that can be done in a reasonable way. So you can, for example, you could think, yeah, for a few years I'm just going to let it fly. And then gradually I'll settle down. Okay, how old are you now? 20? Yes. If you put the pedal to the metal for 5 years, or do you no harm? You would lose anything? There's a right time for everything. My desire is that all the devotees have the experience of going beyond what they think their capacity is. You'll never forget that. That's the advantage of marathons. You just never forget that. Well, I thought I couldn't do any more, and then, wow! Those are the things you remember in Krishna consciousness. Just like a materialist remembers special sense gratification. do you remember those few seconds? Divine. How it was on ecstasy. Well, a devotee remembers the wonderful extended periods of sacrificing for Krishna. That's what you're going to remember in the future. And don't deprive yourself of that. That's, you'll see as you get older in Krishna consciousness, those are the things you're going to remember. Stretching yourself a bit doesn't mean abandoning your intelligence. It means you dress warmly in the cold, you eat properly. But you also know you've got a lot of youthful vim and vigor. So you unleash that. What are you saving it for? When I was 27 years old, I went behind the Iron Curtain. Now I can see if I didn't use all that energy for Krishna, what would I have done with it? I also can look back and see, although it was so hard and difficult, Krishna knew exactly what to do with me to get the maximum absorption. So instead of looking back on the past, you know, with, you know, anger, why did I have to go through all that? No, I say, Krishna, how did you get me to do all these things? Please do it again. I can't understand how you got me to do all that. It's beyond me. Please do it again. Let the mystic power happen again. That's how a devotee thinks. Not grudging.
I did so much service.
Whatever your service is now, take it very seriously. Whether it's a so-called big service or a so-called small service, take it very seriously. All the elements, the devotees you have to deal with, the situation, the care and patience and determination required, take it very seriously, no matter what it is. That's the secret of how to expand your Krishna consciousness. Then Krishna sees that you're taking seriously this. Let me give you something more to take seriously. And that's how your service increases. If you're a pot washer, be the most serious, dedicated pot washer. Whatever. So I hope that you all will take bhakti yoga very seriously and understand why you're associating with devotees. Otherwise, it may seem inconvenient at times. What am I doing with these people? They don't do things my way. Gradually, as you get older, you realize no one does things your way. It's a great realization. First you're in the ashram and you get ticked off because no one does things your way. Then you start thinking, well, if I would just, when I get married, then it'll be alright because that person's going to, you know, because I'm marrying that person, he or she's going to do things my way. Then after a short time in marriage you find out, hey, you don't do things my way. And now we're married. It's too late for me to get out of this one. Oh, boy. You might as well realize it now. You are the only one who does things your way. That's the peace formula. You are the only one who does things your way. You want to find the other person who does things your way? Just look in the mirror. The only place they exist. The other one who does things your way. So what you can do then, knowing that this is the reality, what you can do is learn to relish the different types of devotees. That's what I do. I just listen to so many different types of devotees and I relish them. It's a great sport. It's a good hobby. That's how to enjoy the society of devotees. And I pray to Krishna, please let me swim in the ocean, the nectarian ocean of devotee exchanges and relationships. I know sometimes devotees, they're surprised when they realize I actually like talking to them. Wait a minute now. Why does he like talking to me? Because every devotee has a reservoir of experience and interesting perceptions. You learn a lot by listening to others. These are things to desire. These are things to hanker for. So I pray to Krishna, let me swim in the nectarian ocean of devotional exchanges. Let me splash and frolic in the waves of devotee interactions. Then I can see Krishna reciprocating, Krishna blessing me with nice experiences with devotees. You have to ask for it. You have to beg Krishna for it. Not that you have some kind of attitude.
Okay. Now I'm associating with devotees. Brace myself.
I always wanted two things, especially. When I was a young devotee, I always wanted to feel at home on Sankirtan book distribution. I wanted it to be a natural thing, not just something I forced myself to do. Of course, if there's nothing else but that, then yes. But I wanted to naturally feel at home on Sankirtan. That was my supreme goal. When it feels like you're just doing something so natural. Then my second thing that I would pray to Krishna for as I became older was, Krishna, please teach me how to associate with devotees. Let me swim in the ocean of devotee exchanges. That was the second thing. I hope when I say that you'll understand that a devotee doesn't take anything for granted. Everything is so pregnant with meaning in Krishna consciousness, pregnant with possibility. Everywhere you look, everything you touch, everything you hear or taste is so loaded with possibility that we can easily take it for granted. I'm sure you've had that feeling sometimes, just not seeing the full potential of your situation. Because you don't beg Krishna. The other thing that will ensure your longevity in terms of glorifying Krishna is that you've got to sort yourself out. You have to have the courage to face yourself. and make necessary modifications so that your glorification of Krishna will go on unimpeded. You may notice, if you do a lot of preaching, that contemporary society makes it so most people do not know how to face themselves, or they are afraid to face themselves. That's the way it is these days. But in order for us to glorify Krishna effectively, we've got to face ourselves. Not that we kind of hide behind the altar. Well, since I'm saying Hare Krishna a few times a day, then don't try to change me. Why should I worry about how I am? I do chant Hare Krishna a few times every day. So that's called hiding behind the altar. So these are things we've picked up over the years. All right. So tomorrow is Sunday. Tomorrow's Ekadasi also. Okay. So tomorrow we'll have an afternoon program. All right. You can spend your whole life just doing your daily duties in Krishna service and then chanting and dancing in the evening and hearing about Krishna. You start to feel eternity. Your body may change, but these activities will go on. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. I can just see it now. Petra is an old lady with a bead bag in her hand. Just think. In 30 years or so, you'll be an old lady, right? It goes so quickly. What's the big deal about chanting Hare Krishna for 30 years? It's no big deal. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Tell us they are the desire of you.